You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, the measles is back with a vengeance. What you need to know to not only keep your kids safe, but keep yourself safe from this potentially deadly disease. A huge weekend for big-budget movies, but will the guy who lives in a pineapple under the sea soak up the competition? Manny the Movie Guy joins us live. We always love that. Let's meet the friends. Aaron Myers is on assignment, and here to infiltrate your webmail account is Gonzo Greg Spillane.
I didn't do it. Hey, but Phil, the FBI does a lot on behalf of the American people already, but apparently now they'll even come out and fix your internet. I'll have that coming up.
And constantly checking his body mass index, Chris Martin is here.
What do you think about colleges deciding whether or not students are overweight? That story coming up.
All right, fine. Thanks. I'm glad I'm not in college anymore. Let's get things started. And Greg, thanks as always for being on the program there, Gonzo One.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, the feds are on the case, aren't they? They're looking out for us.
This is pretty outstanding, yeah, because the government cares about you, and they want you to have your Wi-Fi, apparently. Do you want to go the long way around or the short story on this one?
Let's go the long. I want to know what these guys are up to.
Okay, so here's what happened. Back during the World Cup out in Vegas, a bunch of guys rented one of the fancy villas at Caesar's Palace. And they're getting set up in there, and they're like, okay, we're also going to need a bunch of big screen TVs and some laptops and like a bunch of internet broadband in here. We're going to need a lot of internet. And the hotel kind of went, something sounds funky here. So they called the FBI because they thought maybe something's up. So the FBI, not having enough to go on, couldn't obtain a search warrant. So what they did was after the internet got hooked up, they cut the line and then showed up going, hi, we're here to fix your internet. We're your ISP fixer guys.
They were wearing the uniforms, the whole thing?
They showed up as, Comcast or, whatever your internet provider is and said, hey, we'll come in and fix your internet. And
so, what a life to be a spy.
Sounds
huh?
like entrapment.
Yeah. So they come in, they have a look around, they go, yeah, something's definitely up here. It was some sort of, gambling ring during the World Cup. And so after that, they went and obtained a search warrant based on what they'd found. It was just ruled in a Nevada court that you can do that, but the way they did it in this case was incorrect. So I guess the case was thrown out.
Yeah.
But basically now what's been determined is that they can do something like that. But as long as they report it to a judge correctly with all the, T's crossed and I's dotted, that then they can obtain a warrant and then that can be used against you.
Oh, great.
So, yeah. After the FBI, the feds come in and fix your internet, then you're hosed for whatever. Of course, none of us are doing anything wrong, so we would have to worry about this. But
constitutionally speaking, can we just revolt against that sort of thing, or is it it's over? The cat's out of the bag, right?
I think we're so far down the road that we're toast at this point.
Yeah. All right.
These guys have to have a way to be able to monitor illegal activity. But hey, Greg, I'm wondering, when a case is thrown out like that, are these guys all absolved of whatever crimes they may have committed?
I was kind of looking through this, and it's a little sketchy. Apparently, these guys were foreigners, so they're no longer allowed in the country.
Okay.
So there's that. But yeah, I guess if they had lived here, if they were American citizens, I think they would have been off the hook, it looks like.
Wow.
Crazy.
Looking out for our safety, Chris, and looking out for bad guys. They've got to have some tools. Right, but they can't just, There are warrants. There are rules in place.
Agreed. You can't skirt the system. But once you're caught doing something wrong, and if it was found out in a way that's not following the court system, I guess that means you're just free and clear of it, right? Even if you did something wrong.
Yeah, the judge said, look, if you got a warrant, but even if you have a warrant that was obtained the wrong way, then even what you found does not make the warrant valid.
Yeah.
Was what the judge said in her judgment.
Lovely.
So, and basically, what it came down to, what was weird about that was based on as insane as dressing up as the ISP guys was, that was not the problem. The problem was that they didn't report their spy mission properly. So it was basically a technicality that got the whole thing thrown out.
Yeah. Wow.
There you go.
All right. I'm going to get me a Comcast or a Fios uniform. Start knocking on people's doors. What do you think of that?
You can find all sorts of... I've got a Brinks security uniform from the thrift store once. So
really?
Yeah.
Brinks security?
Sure.
Here, yeah. hand me that bag.
Clearly, I look like the guy from Brinks.
It doubles as a Halloween costume.
That's awesome. That's the Gonzo Greggs Get Rich Quick book or pamphlet. You could send sell those for $50 a piece. Boy, oh boy! You know they've got burrito vending machines that'll make you a custom burrito right on the spot. What else did they have? Did they have pizza vending machines?
Yeah,
I
think so.
You can get movies out of a vending machine. You can get condoms.
You can buy things, in Japan out of a vending machine that you don't even want to know about.
Right. Yeah, it was like girls' underwear or something.
Yes. We didn't want to know about that.
Oh, okay. That's what I was trying to get around.
Yes, exactly. But what are they doing up in Washington?
Well, in Seattle, now where cannabis is legal for, it's a medical state, right? It's not a recreational use state in Washington. But now.
Right? I thought they were recreational.
Are,
they're not.
Are they recreational in Seattle?
No, they're not. They're not recro in what? Where are they recro? In Colorado?
Colorado, right.
They're medicinal in Washington,
yeah,
I believe.
Okay, all right, fine.
Washington is medicinal, but I'm just so happy to be living in this wonderful technological age where we now have marijuana vending machines.
Oh, really?
So you can walk up to the machine. It's like a cigarette machine. And you can get whatever your doctor has prescribed for you.
But how do you prove that you're worthy or you have a prescription?
Yeah, here's the thing. The machine is actually, it's not like at the bar, which would be amazing. It's
next to the Fritos machine.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Can I have the party size Fritos and my prescription, please? It's actually at the dispensary. So in order to get into the dispensary, you have to show your ID and your doctor card or whatever it is. And then once you're in there, you're free to use the machine. So it's not just, it's not on the street corner. So you can just, get your stuff.
But or wrap a 40 gauge chain around it and hook it to the trailer hitch on your truck.
Listen, pot machine, you're coming home with me. You're going to have the most happening party. Everybody's going to be at your house because you have the pot machine.
Yeah, wow. All right, Greg. Chris, you've got a couple of stories that intrigue me. First, there's this college. They're not fat shaming, are they?
They are. Well, at least that's what the critics are calling it, is fat shaming. That seems to be the word to use. But in Pennsylvania, Bryn Mawr College, which is an all-girls school, by the way, is now apologizing because they've been sending out emails to students identified as overweight. So I guess they get these physicals regularly, and then they check their body mass index. And if the body mass index is increasing, they send out these emails. And the message invites students to join weight loss success programs on campus. And a lot of the school's under fire for fat shaming, and some of the girls there are really not pleased with the letters they've received.
Are you constantly amazed that we humans don't have some kind of trigger mechanism that says, you know what, you might have to apologize for this in a couple of days, and then not do that thing? I mean, doesn't it seem obvious
to
you?
But what fun would the internet be if people had that mechanism? YouTube comments would just be, oh, thank you for the nice video. It wouldn't be any fun at all.
No, that's right.
Yeah, we need those people out there.
In this PC world, you really got to know that that's not the correct way to go about it. I do want to throw out there that the school says it's not about body policing, but it was supposed to be about health and well-being.
Yeah, they're taking a stance against obesity.
Yeah, I think they had good intentions and just didn't pan out for them.
Right. Well, you know what? People have a body image, or they're comfortable with it, or they're not comfortable with it. And
especially girls. Girls don't, some of them have a difficult time dealing with hearing that, especially if they are comfortable with
and
themselves.
Some of them are comfortable enough to get out there and be between the covers of a magazine.
That's it. Some of them are very proud of their physical appearance, and actually Sports Illustrated is celebrating that. They're going to have their first plus-size model in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition history. So her name is Robin Lawley. She's a size 12, and she's going to be wearing a bikini from her own line. I've seen the picture. It is a very teeny bikini.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the curviest model to ever appear in the swimsuit edition. Although, again, there's some backlash from women because there's a statistic that says the average American woman's size is a 14, so a size 12.
It's smaller than the average.
Plus size,
skinny little tart here. Look at this.
Speaking of skinny little tart, have you seen the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition? It was revealed last night.
I've seen it because I believe Phil has posted it on the show fun page.
I didn't post it. The Web Munchkins posted it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
We have Web Munchkins. Hannah Davis is the name of the model, and it's, I tell you, I mean, it is practically full frontal nudity.
Well, it looks like she's trying to take the bottom off her bikini for some reason. It looks like
maybe it's itchy, and
she's pretty much done doing that too. I mean, well, you just take a look at it and see what you think. And there's some other interesting things on the show fun page at philhewlettandfriends.com that we'll talk about a little later as well. By the way, you know that campaign that McDonald's has been doing? When you come up and you order your food and they say, you know what, here's how you could pay us.
I heard something about like you could hug them, like you could pay for your food with a hug or something.
Or you give your kid a hug right there in the store, or you pick up the phone and you call your mom and say, I love you. Well, one of these backfired in an epic fail fashion, and we're going to tell you what happened next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. And Gonzo Gregg is here today, along with Chris Martin. Hi, and I'm Phil. We're so glad you tuned in. A couple of things to run past you real quick. First of all, did you know that cockroaches actually have individual personalities?
I thought they were all jerks, personally.
Yeah, well, their personalities tend to fall into two categories, shy or bold.
The shy ones you never see, and the bold ones are the ones that run across your kitchen wall.
Or they come, they come right at your toes when you're wearing flip-flops.
When you have friends over, they're the ones that come out and want a party.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right.
One of the only critters that will cause me to jump up on a chair and scream like a girl.
Yeah.
Remember that movie, Joe's Apartment?
Grab my skirt.
Oh, yeah.
Outstanding. Best cockroach movie ever.
Sure is. Were there more than one? Oh, there probably were cockroaches, you know, like the birds or the rat movies, you know, where people are just attacked by cockroaches. And there was a scene in Indiana Jones where the female actress fell into a pit of cockroaches. Isn't that right?
Lovely. Good times.
Yeah. Hey, McDonald's did a Super Bowl ad, you probably saw it, where they randomly let customers pay for food with acts of love, like taking a selfie or giving someone a hug. Well, it's already backfired. A guy on Reddit.com posted a story about what happened when he was randomly selected on Tuesday.
So they get to pick who gets to
It's totally random. So that's why, you know. It's a random thing of love, but also you're thinking, hey, let's go to McDonald's. Maybe they'll pick us.
Right. Okay.
So there's probably increasing sales, but maybe not so much anymore. Now, the guy who posted on Reddit says he says they told him he could get his $15 worth of food free. He just had to call a family member and say, I love you. So he called his mom. Simple enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just call mom, say, I love you. How hard is that? Well, turns out this guy had a history of depression and suicidal thoughts when he was bullied in high school. So when he called his mom and his first words were, I love you, she started freaking out that he was about to kill himself.
Oh, no.
And she had an asthma attack. Once she used her inhaler and could breathe again, it took more than 15 minutes for the guy to convince her he wasn't suicidal and that she didn't.
By then, all his food was cold.
Yeah,
so.
That she didn't have to fly 1,000 miles to be with him. He did ultimately end up getting his food for free, though, and it was cold.
Mom, calm down. I'm just trying to get some free Big Macs.
I just want some fries.
Yeah.
And there's a website that just ranked all 50 states by their fast food, based on things like the number of different chains and the number of chains that started there.
Like in terms of who has the most or who has the best?
Well, let's see. McDonald's, Burger King, Subway, Taco Bell. There's so many fast foods. So the website is thrilllist.com. Thrilllist.com. THRILLIST.com.
I would be expecting something else from a site like that, but anyway.
Yeah. You want to know who came in first?
State with the most fast food?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Top 10 in reverse order.
Okay.
Oklahoma.
Count them down.
Oklahoma. Michigan. Colorado. Well, that's good. For obvious reasons.
They've probably moved up recently.
Louisiana, Kentucky, Georgia, Ohio, Alabama, and the number one out of the top 10, Texas.
Really?
Yeah.
They have Whataburger. You ever had Whataburger?
Whataburger.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Whataburger.
That's their popular fast food joint down there. That's like their In-N-Out.
Don't they also have Schlotzky's?
Schlotzky's Deli, yeah.
Delis.
We have some of those here.
Yeah. All right. But there are a ton of other regional chains, of course. There's Culver's and there's In-N-Out Burger out here in the West. California.
Rallies out in the Midwest.
Oh, I skipped a state, by the way. California is actually number two.
I was going to say, we ought to be up there on the list.
Yeah, because we have all the chains. We have McDonald's, Taco Bell, Jack in the Box, In-N-Out, A&W. There aren't too many of those anymore. Hot Dog on a Stick. Oh, my high school memories of Hot Dog on a Stick, when they only used to hire women, young ladies, from high school age.
Why you go there?
Before they had to put their, they did. They put their hair up in that funny hat, and they were forced to wear what essentially were lemon-colored hot pants.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had to stand in basically in a vat of lemons.
And make the lemonade.
With a stick. And it's like old-fashioned churning butter. And they just kind of bounce up and down on a pogo stick behind the counter while you sit there and you eat your hot dog on a stick.
Pure genius. Best marketing ever in the history of anything, ever.
By the way, the worst state ranked for fast food?
Worst?
Worst.
I don't know. Alaska?
Something like that. Vermont. Which was just below Alaska and Maine.
All right.
Where apparently there is no... And by the way, if you want to see the entire list, there's a photo link on the show fun page, which is a great place to hang out today, I must say.
Well, no White Castle for you. That's all I can say.
No, not here.
Yep.
You know what? You worry sometimes when you're digging through the produce at the grocery store. You know, it's literally fresh off the boat, not to mention how bad that TV show was, by the way. We're not going to talk about that. I was offended within the first two. My sensibilities were offended. That's all you need to know. I watched for about 5 minutes, and I thought,
had to bail on it.
This is getting canceled immediately. It goes back to that thing. Don't people have a trigger that says you're going to have to apologize for this?
This might not be the best
crossing the line.
Yeah, I am so sorry that anybody had to watch that. Anyway, just the same, when you're tooling through the grocery store and you're in the produce section and you reach your hand into a box of bananas. You got to be careful these days, Greg.
Well, it's true. I've heard about this. I always thought it was kind of urban legend-y, you know, and there was a giant spider. But apparently, it's for real. If you want to freak yourself out, go to the Googles and look up Brazilian wandering spider.
Brazilian also, wandering spider.
Wandering spider.
Okay.
And also known as the banana spider, because they, from time to time, hop on a load of bananas from, Honduras, and show up at Whole Foods in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which just actually happened. It is the world's most deadliest spider. More people die from this spider's bite than any other spider in the world ever.
Wow, really?
So it's hanging out in the Whole Foods, on the bananas, in the Whole Foods in Tulsa, Oklahoma. If this thing were to bite you, within minutes, you'd have breathing problems.
Yeah.
You'll start to lose control of your muscles.
Mm-hmm.
You'll start to drool. Some of us do naturally, but within 20 to 25 minutes, you'll probably collapse on the floor and die.
You think there's anybody at your local Whole Foods that would know how to react and respond if they were to see you exhibiting some of these symptoms?
I think they'd just step right over you and keep on going.
Probably. Yeah, I got to get. I'm here for Sprouts. Get out of my way.
Right. Yeah. The box girl or whatever they call them these days. The people that put the stuff in the bags for you.
Well,
charge you for the bags. She'd probably look at you and say, "Ew."
My roller girlfriends work at the Whole Foods, so they might know what to do. But so apparently somebody at the Whole Foods in Tulsa there knew what to do and contacted somebody who came and took the spider to the place where you keep dangerous spiders, guess. But the quote was, "These people at the Tulsa Whole Foods are lucky to be alive."
Wow.
Is it a big spider, Greg?
It's a pretty big-ass spider, and this guy said this particular one was a real a-hole because he was very he was very aggressive.
Fighting back like a Wolverine.
Yeah, cornered. I know. He was like, he would jump at you, apparently. And
going back to those cockroach personalities, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, there are some people that just see spiders and they're chemically induced. And perhaps they're some of America's most creative people, Chris.
Yeah, over in Silicon Valley, they're doing some experimenting out there and not just on our computer hardware. There's now a litany of books and articles, interviews from people in Silicon Valley that say that a lot of the creative people out there are dropping LSD, or some people might call it acid.
Yeah.
And
I would call it that.
Yeah. They're saying, these guys in these interviews are saying that in Silicon Valley, there's a premium on creativity, problem solving, thinking outside the box, these things that lead to these billion-dollar creative ventures. And for many guys out there, it's like the 70s all over again. And one guy even saying, the billionaires I know out here, without exception, use hallucinogens.
Yeah.
To allow themselves to look at things with different perspectives.
Well, they've probably read some of the writings of Dr. Timothy Leary and a bunch of other smart guys in the
Dr. Hunter S. Thompson,
Ken Kesey.
Yeah, in the 60s, who really extolled the virtues of using this drug. But then all of a sudden, the feds said, no, not a good idea. Not going to do it. And then the war on drugs happened in the 70s.
And now look where we are.
Yes, we have three potential blockbuster movies opening in theaters tomorrow. And we're going to find out if there's no relation to the two stories.
This is made by creative people.
And if any of them are worth your money, we'll find out when Manny the Movie Guy joins us live next on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, we're back. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Greg and Chris are here. And it's time to find out what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex. Joining us live is the reason folks in Palm Springs watch the news on KMIR-TV, Manny the Movie Guy.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey,
you know what? I guess when you say Channing Tatum and Mila Kunis, a lot of people would say in response, I'm there. Those two beautiful people are in Jupiter Ascending, and I bet people are dying to see it. Or are they?
I will talk about that, and we're also going to talk about the Sundance real quick, the Sundance drama. But the Wachowskis take us to the universe with Jupiter Ascending. Like their Matrix movies, this one's about the Chosen One. Real quick, Mila Kunis is Jupiter, an illegal alien in her own planet who cleans houses for a living. But little does she know, she's really the queen of the universe. Channing Tatum is Kane. He is a splice, a genetically engineered hunter, and he's in charge to protect her from a trio of siblings with questionable motivations. Central to the story is the overacting Eddie Redmayne as the ruthless Balaam. I love Eddie Redmayne. I love him in The Theory of Everything. He could be he may win an Oscar, but
just not for this one.
I would hide this movie from the Academy voters.
Ooh.
ASAP. But there's a lot to like in the movie, though. I enjoy the eye-popping action sequences, especially when you see the very first chase scene in the film, which was shot in downtown Chicago. And you can tell that the Wachowskis are looking for deeper meaning of life involving genetics, but they tried to do so much in such a short time that character development and narrative structure are sacrifice.
Any eye-popping scenes between Mila and Channing?
Yeah, Mila, queen of the universe. If anybody deserves it, I would think it would be her.
Yeah.
A minor kiss here and there is all I can tell you.
Oh.
Yes, not a whole lot of skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, because at Sundance, they said it screened to muted audiences, which didn't sound good.
Yeah, well, here's the problem with that, though. I mean, Sundance is not for blockbuster movies.
Right.
Those people are looking for high art in cinema, you know? And so when you show them
who needs
like
that?
This, you know, I am actually defending this film from those Sundance people. And I love art house cinemas too, you know, art house films. But, you know, this one is not a bad film. You will not walk out. You'll actually be entertained, except that the mythology of the film will be confusing. So if you're just there for eye-popping sci-fi stuff, then by all means, watch it.
What a shame.
So is it as ridiculous as, like, the third Matrix? I mean, is it, compare it to, so it's better than that? Oh, really?
It's a little better. Yeah. This one okay. is almost. This one is almost like the Attack of the Clones.
Oh, great!
At least it's a little better. Than
Please. So, from sci-fi to fantasy, now, Manny, which is often very much the same thing in my lexicon, but it's Seventh Son and two more big Hollywood stars to talk
That's
about.
That's right. Well, here's my question, though. What is going on with Jeff Bridges? After winning an Oscar for Crazy Heart, he went on to star in the horrible R.I.P.D. with Ryan Reynolds and the lackluster The Giver from last year. Sure, yeah. He was in True Grit, but that in itself was a remake. But in The Seventh Son, the actor sports grisly facial hair yet again as a merciless mercenary who hunts witches. But this time, he's face-to-face with the Oscar frontrunner Julianne Moore, who kills his apprentice. So now he has to find a new one. Enter Ben Barnes, the seventh son of a seventh son. Oh. The end.
Okay, that's all we need to know.
How about those commercials he's been doing lately, too, Jeff Bridges, with the where he's like almost just sitting there meditating, rubbing a spoon around the edges of a bowl.
I love that. It's outstanding.
Right. Well, probably he should just do commercials then. You know?
Yeah, maybe. But if he's constantly working, that's a good thing. I mean, that's the Michael Caine school of Hollywood, right? You just you don't turn down a role no matter.
Or Nicolas Cage. He could be going to the Nicolas Cage school of Hollywood.
That's high praise.
They just accept anything and everything that comes their way to pay mortgage, apparently.
And Manny, the biggest star of them all is in this movie, which I suspect will blow all the others out of the water, or at least knock their pants off, the SpongeBob movie.
Oh, yeah, the SpongeBob. See, out of all the new releases this week, that is actually my pick of the week.
Wow.
You know, SpongeBob, voiced by Tom Kenny, must leave Bikini Bottom and enter our dimension because someone stole the secret recipe for the Krabby Patty, SpongeBob's favorite food. But first, he must deal with Burger Beard, played by Antonio Banderas.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Nickelodeon, like the Nickelodeon show, this one is silly, and some of the gags are not funny, but it's also manic and colorful and lively, and dare I say it, vibrant. So swim with SpongeBob. Like what I said, it's my pick of the week.
Probably biggest box office in Colorado, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Let's go watch SpongeBob, man.
All right, very good. Well, hopefully we'll get out of this doldrums part of the year and start getting some real good movies going. When does that start, really? Around the end of March or so?
Probably right after the Oscars.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, next week we have 50 Shades of Grey, which everyone's salivating about.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm watching it next week.
Looks like kiddie porn to me. Those two actors look a little young, don't they?
Yeah, they don't look like they like each other either.
Oh, how's that supposed to work?
Exactly. Where's the chemistry, right?
Yeah, chemistry is important. Chemistry and mythology. Those are the two things I look for in movies, Manny.
There you go.
Good to talk with you again. MannyTheMovieGuy.com and links on our page all over the place. You can't miss him. He's there and he's fun. We'll talk to you again next week.
Omnipresent.
He's the movie king of the universe, Manny the Movie Guy. All right, good to talk to you, my friend. We'll check in with you again next week.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right. Hey, you know what? The measles outbreak has spread now to 14 states, and people are starting to get a little panicky about it. I don't know about you. Should you get your child a booster shot? Do you need a booster shot? And if you're one of those people who, for whatever reason, is not getting your child vaccinated, we have some words for you next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Hi, how are you? It's Phil Hewlett and friends, and glad you tuned in. It's an important segment we're doing here because back in the early 1960s, 3 to 4 million people became ill with the measles each year. That's when doctors recommended, after some advances here, that everyone born after 1957 get a shot with a new vaccine. Eventually, we got the disease under control and essentially eliminated it here in the U.S. with only cases imported here from other countries. Now the disease seems to be roaring back. A new outbreak is spreading to 14 states so far. Some children have been quarantined from schools where the disease has popped up. So we want to get some sound advice on what to do. And for that, we turn to the medical director of the Valley View Wellness Medical Center in Garden Grove, Dr. Michael Kurtz. Dr. Kurtz.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Excellent. Even better now that you're here. What do we need to know about this latest outbreak?
I am here. What you need to know is it's a very contagious acute viral respiratory illness. It is caused by a virus, and it is the most contagious of all.
Yeah, and it's starting to pop up in a lot of places, and there's so much concern now that some state legislatures are considering making it mandatory for kids to be vaccinated before they can go to school, essentially saying if you have religious or other objections to getting your child inoculated, you're essentially quarantined from those schools. But it used to be that way in the old days, didn't it?
Yes, that's what I thought.
In the old days, everybody was vaccinated, but when I was a kid, there were no vaccine for it. The vaccine didn't come out until much later.
Right.
So we all got the infections. I've had mumps, measles, rubella, chickenpox. I've had all that as a child.
I had the measles. Phil, did you have the measles?
I did not have the measles. I had all those other things, but
I think
don't
I had the measles, and I think I had the German measles. I think I got it twice.
Rubella, right? And that's what the shot. That's what the vaccine protects against.
But see, if you were born after 57, the word was already out there that you were supposed to get by about 1964, 65. They were trying to get everybody vaccinated.
Correct. Cause that's where the vaccine came.
And I think I may have gotten that. I don't know. Maybe not.
Well, you know what we do to test it? See, here's the thing. I'm seeing a lot of people now because everybody is on the verge of, you know, freaking out because of what's going on. So I'm seeing a lot of people from, believe it or not, Disneyland. I'm seeing teachers. I'm seeing students at elementary schools and even colleges that are coming here to be checked with a blood test to find out if they indeed have contacted it and they are now immune or if they never had it before.
Hmm.
And guess what I'm finding?
What are you finding?
I'm finding that most people have had it or they were vaccinated and they don't remember.
Yeah, I think I'm in that boat. But obviously we worry about children, but
yes.
Is it true that most of the measles cases are with adults?
Right now they are with the adults, yeah, because a lot of the adults weren't immunized or their immunity to it wore off.
It's deadly, potentially?
It can be. It can be deadly.
Hey, wait a minute. Your immunity can wear off? What? So, like, if I had measles, should I worry because I had it when I was a kid?
Don't worry, but you should probably come to see your doctor. That would be me for a blood test just to make sure that you're fine. And that's what I'm finding right now. Everybody that has come in that was exposed, you know, at a young age and developed it or they had the immunity to it, the vaccine, they're all immune. And the way we check it is with an IgG test.
Mm-hmm.
So I do the IgG with mumps, measles, and German measles, i.e. rubella, and everybody's coming out positive, like really high on the whole scale, which means they're fine. They have nothing to worry about.
So what's your advice on shots then for kids and for adults?
The kids should have it if they haven't had it yet. I mean, you know, of course it's recommended they have it at 12 months, and then they should have it again at 4 to 6, you know, years. They should have two shots. Adults that haven't had it should first go to their doctor, their family doctor or internist, and they should be checked. They should have the IgG test because they might have had it and they don't know. So why have another one? There's no reason to.
Yeah, yeah.
They're immune, you know?
Right.
Because the thing is, once you have it, there's not a lot to do for it. That's a problem. It's very contagious, and there's not a lot to do. And that's why they're putting a lot of people, you know, in quarantine.
For a little perspective here, Dr. Kurtz, didn't we have a measles outbreak in the late 80s? I mean, you were practicing medicine
yes,
in the late
I was.
80s, right? And we got things under control after that, didn't
yes.
we?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Well, what did we do?
What did we do? We quarantined the people. We gave them, you know, a lot of fluids, electrolytes, that kind of stuff, Tylenol, and just basically kept them in isolation for a little while.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a 7 to 21 day, you know, incubation period, so you got to keep people away from other people. But the death rate isn't that high. I mean, you've got to be immunocompromised. You've got to have other illnesses with this to die, I would think.
But we worry about, especially at the schools, moms showing up to pick up their kids and pregnant mothers especially.
Pregnant mothers, right, or people that have cancer and things like that. And the problem with them is, if you have cancer, you're not allowed to have live virus. And guess what the MMR injection is?
It's a live virus.
It's a live virus.
Hey, isn't it most contagious, too, before you even know you have it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it takes like 4 days, 4 days you don't even know you have it, and 14 days later you might have the rash.
That sneaky virus.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I ask a quick
sure.
question?
Yeah, Phil? Chris, go ahead.
All right. Hey, Dr. Kurtz, do you give, just to play devil's advocate for a second, do you give any credence to the few outlier parents out there that say that there are side effects to immunizations?
Okay, here's the thing with the immunizations. I mean, I know I have parents that come in here all the time, and they make me sign a waiver that their kids don't need immunizations because they're not a believer in it, blah, blah, blah. The problem is what we're doing now with the immunizations are, one, I think we're giving too many at one time. And the second thing is we got to make sure that they don't have Marisol in them, because I think that's the problem.
What's Marisol?
Marisol is mercury, and that's the preservative in a lot of the injections, especially the MMR vaccine. And the thing is, a lot of times I'll say that certain diseases and infections are now, they're eradicated. That's what happened in 1980 when I moved here from Michigan. In Canada, they said, there's no more polio. Polio has been eradicated. No more polio vaccines. Guess what happened a few months after that?
Yeah. More polio.
Polio outbreak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got to keep vaccinating.
You got to keep vaccinating.
But are we getting vaccines without the mercury in them?
We are. They are. You have to ask for it. You got to make sure your doctor's doing that. We have not, knock on wood, seen one child in my office that we gave a vaccine to that developed autism or anything. We haven't developed any child into autism at all. We've seen autistic kids very commonly from other offices, but our office itself has not documented one case of a child who developed autism.
Yeah, right. Okay, so what's the problem with mercury again? What can happen to you?
Some kids are, it's a lot of research on it. I mean, the research was done by a physician a couple years ago. I don't know if you know this, and the guy lost his license. He said the vaccines were causing it, so I don't even want to get into that.
Yeah. Asking is because who knows? I think probably all of the vaccinations I received as a child had mercury in them.
Right.
And I can remember a day we dropped one of those old-fashioned thermometers on the floor, or I did, mercury turns into a fun little
cool to play with.
Googly marble. Yeah.
You can make little balls out of them and throw them all around the room.
I must have played with the mercury for an hour before we threw it away.
Yeah, you're not supposed to play with it. But
now look what
it swallowed. Can you imagine if you swallowed it, it went into your system? That's not a good thing.
Oh, see, what would happen then?
It wraps around your skeletal structure, and you turn into Wolverine.
I was going to say you become a superhero and fight crime.
Right, but you know what? The benefits have to outweigh the risks. The benefits of the vaccine are better than the risks.
Of course.
That's the thing right now, because you know what? There's a lot of these things can kill you. I mean, you can die from it. The measles, you have a fever of 105. You can have a febrile convulsion. You can become dehydrated. You could die.
Well, see, imagine we're talking about dozens to, hundreds of people at this point with it. But if it keeps going and growing exponentially, you could get back to where it was in the early 60s when 3 to 4 million people a year became ill with the measles.
Right. Now, right now, the biggest state in the country of measles outbreak is where?
Well, considering a lot of people go to Disneyland and they had an outbreak there, I'm going to just vote for California.
You can vote for California. You got it. Ding, ding, ding. But you know what? We were there. I had my office party at Disneyland on December 18th.
Did you all wear those masks?
No, because they didn't tell us. They didn't tell us until a few weeks later that there's been an outbreak at Disneyland. So I have Disneyland employees come to my office, and I've checked them, and guess what? They're all immune. Not one person in this office, to my knowledge, that they're telling me, has developed measles, mumps, chickenpox, any of it.
I think it would be great if you and the rest of your staff went on that that one ride where you're in the mountain log and you come down the thing. What's it called? The
Splash Mountain.
Splash Mountain. You come down Splash Mountain. You have the picture.
That's a great ride.
You have your picture taken. You're wearing the scrubs and the gloves and you've got the mask on, the face mask, the whole thing. Just take that picture.
We'll put red marks all over our face to make it look like we have measles.
Yeah.
That'd be better. We'll do that. Hey, we have the measles, but we're not contagious because we're wearing a mask.
Dr. Kurtz, I feel better, but I also feel like maybe I need to go get a little blood test.
I will bet you dinner. Anywhere you want to go, that you are immune.
I owe you so many dinners.
No, you don't. No, but I'll bet you don't. But that's what I want. That's why I want to allay a lot of people's fears listening to this.
All right.
A lot of people are freaking out right now. And I was born in 1953, okay?
Yeah.
Before any kind of a vaccination. And I'm immune. And I've got people that worked at Disneyland that were born in the 50s and 60s also that come in for the blood test. And they're all immune.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that. It's the people that haven't been, or the young kids, or the people that are older. Those are the people that we need to worry about.
All right, young man. Thank you very much.
Young man, good talking to you guys. You have a great day.
You too, Dr. Kurtz.
Okay,
thanks.
Stay away from Disneyland.
No, come on.
No, we love Disneyland.
We love them.
I love Disneyland. I'm kidding. Okay, Disneyland's fine.
All right, good.
Okay, you guys.
Nice recovery.
Okay. Now, Magic Mountain, however, that's a completely different story.
Yeah, now that they're closing, you can go ahead and say that. Is Magic Mountain still closing?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not totally sure on that, though.
They're closing or just closing for the season?
No, I heard that they were closing.
This is the worst news. You've just ruined my day.
Well, you can't get in the way of progress. There's the whole area out there. There's a valley out there where the growth, the urban sprawl is at a great neck speed right now.
So we need more houses and shopping malls.
Yeah, I think so.
Gonzo, you can go buy a piece of a roller coaster as they tear it down if you want some memorabilia.
Oh, wow. I am so bummed. That's horrible.
Yeah, it is.
Ugh.
You know what else is horrible?
Yeah.
Police around the country are making a surprisingly high number of trips to Chuck E. Cheese's. Do you know why?
Good pizza?
No donuts. I don't know.
Because of fights between adults. In fact, in a lot of cities, there are more adult fights at Chuck E. Cheese's than at any other restaurant.
Well, this makes sense. Well, me and my buddies used to go there for lunch because you could get a pitcher of beer for, like, you know, $2.
And the pizza's not bad.
And a pizza, once you drain the grease off the top.
Yeah, right. And you get past the kid smell because they're all running around in their socks.
Their feet.
But the theory is that people are more likely to fight there because their biological instinct is to protect their kids.
Well, that makes sense. I thought it was because of a skee ball tournament gone awry.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, I thought it was because of the dollar pitchers, really.
Just beating each other with the whack-a-mole sticks.
All right, quick trivia question for you. The longest-running TV show in America is... Active TV show. Longest running.
It's on now?
On now. Has not stopped.
How I Met Your Mother.
No.
Seems like Simpsons. That's been on for a while.
Simpsons.
Oh, yeah.
Simpsons is a good
guess.
That's
the one.
That's a good guess. No, you're wrong.
Oh.
Meet the Press has been on for 67 years, and they've done more than 5,000 episodes.
And no one has watched it ever.
Now, The Simpsons may have done more episodes.
Right.
Is that the case? No. Were they ever on twice a week?
Maybe, but I would probably Meet the Press is on every week.
Every week.
It's on Sunday, right?
Yeah, it's on Sunday.
Boy,
Sunday
I morning. Was way off.
Yeah. Well, because you're right. You probably have never watched it. Who watches Meet the Press?
I've seen it a handful of times. It's not terrible.
Your grandfather who yells at the TV.
Yes.
He watches it every Sunday morning.
Policy wonks.
Right. Hey, I don't agree with that.
Yeah, yeah.
That guy.
Move to Greenland, where you don't have to watch it. In fact, a thing about Greenland, you know how lonely it is to live there? This is another interesting fact.
How lonely is it?
We play a match game?
One in every five people in Greenland attempt suicide at some point in their life.
Wow.
Huh.
That's how lonely it is living in Greenland.
I am in Greenland. It's like living in Rhode Island.
Interesting they used the word attempt, too.
Yeah.
It's a swing and a miss. Sorry, you're back.
Oh,
welcome.
Really? Is that... Oh, that's it. That is it for hour one of the program. There's so much more coming up, including Japan's new robot hotel, the 8 creepiest things you can do on Facebook, and an old voice from the show joins us from a snowdrift in Chicago. Those stories and more in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends, coming up next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, net neutrality could actually happen. Our tech guy has an update. Plus, every day, you and I do this. But if this one woman does this just once, she could die. It's true. The friends are here. Well, not all of them. Erin Myers has the day off. She's on assignment doing some newsy TV stuff. Gonzo, Greg Spillane is here. So is Chris Martin. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for tuning in. We'll get things started with you, Greg. First things first, a bunch of doctors have put together a website. It's more or less an X-ray website, but there's a if you search around a little bit, there's a particularly interesting, if not funny, section of the website. Isn't that true?
I don't know about you, but how many times a day do you sit around and say to yourself, if only there were a website somewhere on the internet where I could go and see x-rays of odd things that people have put in their butts? Now there is.
I've said that before.
And now the next question is, how does it work?
Yeah, well, how does it work?
I was going to say, what's it called?
It's called Radiopedia. It's like Wikipedia, so you spell it like that, except it's Radiopedia. So it's the radiologists who take the x-ray when you go to the emergency room with something that's gone up there and is not coming back.
Yeah.
And as soon as you log in, you'll see a number of interesting things that people have put in there.
Yeah.
I'm assuming these are mostly guys. There's a guy with a can of bug spray.
Oh.
There's a jar of instant coffee up there.
What?
Yeah. But, and that's the thing.
Well, there may be some existential benefits to that. You know, you hear about, right, high colonics and coffee enemas.
Sure,
and
there's,
sort of
yeah,
thing.
Like, yeah. Nothing better in the morning than Folgers in your butt.
No. No.
Here's an orange.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Are we talking a cutie orange or?
No, I think that's a full-on, honest-to-goodness orange right there. And
I'm looking at the gas lighter refill.
Yeah, there's an eggplant.
Oh.
And there's a discussion. Yeah. On one of the many reasons why you should not put
These are doctors who do that. Now you got to poke around. Right. I'm sorry to put it that way. You got to poke around on the website a little bit to find this, but you could probably find it. There's a search bar and just put in foreign bodies, and you ought to be okay. But we have a link for Radiopedia, just in case you don't spell it properly, on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com. But these are studious doctors.
Right. It's not. And the site says basically this is not for lay people, although here we are looking at it.
Yeah.
But
because there are all sorts of legitimate x-rays. Well, these are legit. There's nothing illegitimate about these x-rays. They came into the doctor with a serious problem.
Well, this happened and they had to have an x-ray to figure out what they're going to do to get that out of there.
Yeah. If you don't remove the small child out of my rectum, I'm going to die.
We used to have an EMT on the show all the time who would call in with like three different stories of crazy stuff that happened. And one of them was false.
Yeah.
And usually the one that seemed most ridiculous was real.
Yeah.
And here's proof.
Yeah. Well, you have more proof of the ridiculousness of life and the types of things that can happen to people. And a moment ago, I was joking about what would happen, you know, that I would die if you didn't, you know, anyway. There's a woman who literally could die if what happens?
She starts laughing. She has what's called, I think it's called, Moyamoya disease. And she was diagnosed with that on her 26th birthday.
That sounds like something you would do when you tickle somebody in the ribs. You would say that. Moyamoya
disease.
Moyamoya.
Apparently. And so what will happen is she starts laughing. It will trigger some sort of brain thing where she essentially has a stroke, which could kill her.
Wow. That's fascinating. But it's scary, too, because how many times a day do you laugh or chuckle about something, right?
Yes,
especially listening to this show, you laugh at how, you know, in the world any of us ever got to use a microphone professionally.
This show would be toxic to a person.
Yeah,
like that,
exactly. You know? But on our last program, we had a lady who did not smile for 40 years so that she wouldn't get wrinkles in her face. And apparently it worked. Maybe we should put those two ladies together. They should become friends.
Maybe. That woman sounds like she's great fun to be around.
But you can't watch primetime television.
There's no Big Bang Theory for you, right?
More or less, it's Meet the Press.
You kind of watch Meet the Press all the time, 24 hours a day.
But even those windbags crack a joke from time to time.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't recommend that show to anyone, though. Yeah. I'd rather go out laughing than not.
Oh, gosh, I feel real bad for that lady. And I feel bad for laughing about it, but there is a certain amount of humor to it.
But it's just crazy, but yeah. She's gone on to, she runs marathons and is coping somehow. But,
can you imagine the diehard pranksters that are out there who would just love a shot at this lady?
Right, just come
those
out
sick people.
Sort of... Yeah. Somebody over at Funny or Die could literally be true at this point.
They're working on an article as we speak about this.
Or they're offering her an endorsement. Now, talk about sick. There's a list out of the most downloaded songs. And these are rock songs, is that right, Chris? Of all time, most downloaded.
Yeah, they're labeled as rock songs, the 15 most downloaded rock songs of all time. I am sure that this list will anger the rock purists out there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, now we have to define rock and roll, and when I read you some of the names on this here list, you're going to decide whether or not it is rock and roll.
Spare us some of the top ones at first. What, you got 15?
Well, as soon as you say list, I'm already angry because I know it's going to go wrong.
Yeah. Who's in there?
We'll jump around a little bit. Number 15 down at the bottom of the list is Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer. Somewhere around 3 million downloads.
3 million? Okay.
Right.
All right.
Well, that seems low, huh?
Yeah.
I think, Phil, both of us know a lot of people in that video for that particular song.
In fact, we do, yes.
Yeah, we know
many of them who used to fit well in a Lycra miniskirt.
Okay, so now let's jump up the list a little bit. Let's go to number 12. It's The Fray, You Found Me, which I don't know if you could classify that as a rock song. Or whether or not that...
I don't know if I could hum it.
Mike is shaking his head.
I don't know. It's not a bad song, but I would.
Number 11, Linkin Park, What I've Done. At least you could consider them a rock band. Number 10, now we get into the top 10, Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Well, I suppose you got to have that in your collection. If you're downloading music and you're creating playlists and all of that, you got to have that in your collection.
You do.
Well, here's the disconnect is because it's download opposed to all of us that have been suckered into buying it on vinyl and then buying it again on...
CD, cassette, and then on CD. Yeah. A-track.
Number 7 is Survivor, Eye of the Tiger.
Oh, come on.
It's just over 4 million downloads.
People have to have that?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Any Rocky fan.
You got to put it on your workout mix when you're on the treadmill. Bill, come on.
Please.
Number 6, Kings of Leon, Use Somebody.
Oh, gosh. Can I just say...
Yeah,
I'm not a fan of that. I don't dislike them personally. Uh-huh. I'm sure they're fine individuals, but I just do not like their music.
Yeah, you don't like it, huh?
No,
I love Kings of Leon.
I love that band. Yeah, I really do.
Nickelback, Rockstar. You want to talk about a group that will give most people an adverse reaction?
Yeah. I think we can all agree to not like Nickelback.
But they have their fans.
Oh, yeah.
Who are they? Do you know one?
I haven't met one yet. No.
I haven't met one. Have you?
No. I met one time, and then I immediately said, you cannot be friends with me.
Right? No. I cannot.
That was my first response.
Okay, you know what? Our production assistant, Nick Wright, is sitting over there awfully quiet right now while we're talking about Nickelback.
Huge Nickelback fan.
It's one of the first three questions I ask somebody if there's potential for friendship.
Yeah. All right.
Number 4, The Fray, How to Save a Life.
What, didn't we already do that one?
There's a different Fray song, You Found Me.
Oh,
right.
Gosh,
so The Fray's on there twice.
Two.
Now the top 3, and they separate themselves significantly in the number of downloads. Number 3, AWOL Nation, Sail with 5.5 million downloads.
What?
Yeah. Wow. Number 2, Journey, Don't Stop Believing with 6.4 million downloads.
Yeah.
Don't think we ever heard this before.
This? Oh. Karaoke super song.
All right.
How about that Phoebe Filipino kid, by the way, that's filling in that spot?
Now, for the folks that download this program regularly, does that song, the fact that we just played 3 seconds of that song, does that count as another download?
I think so. Yeah, Nick, did you download that legally or pirate that off of YouTube? He said, "Don't ask." Okay.
Oh, okay. Sounded like YouTube to me. Do we want to take a guess at the number one?
Go ahead, Greg.
I don't know. Zeppelin.
Pink Floyd.
No. I'll give you both no's. You're gonna have to get a little bit more current.
Current. Okay.
Current.
So it's like Beyonce or something.
The Fray.
Right?
Yeah, The Fray for
they
a
got,
third time on the list.
They've got two in there, and I don't even know who the band is.
All right, here we go. It is Imagine Dragons, Radioactive.
That song?
Really?
7.5 million downloads.
Well, you know, that's not a lot if you think about it, because back in the back in my day when people used to actually buy singles, 45 RPM singles. If you had a real popular song, you might do 3 or 4 or 5 million sales just on a single, and then the album might do 3 or 4 or 5 million. And so if it's the most popular downloaded song of all time, and how old is that song? A year, two,
yeah,
2 years?
Maybe 2 years, maybe three.
Maybe three, yeah, because those guys, it's funny, working in radio, they would show up at every concert we would do. And opening, Imagine Dragons, and I'd be like, oh, God, these guys again. Yeah. And they're actually a great band, and I like them, and they're very talented people.
Yeah.
But that song just blew up to such epic proportion. It just goes to show that if I say a song isn't very good, yeah, it will go to number one.
Yeah. They're on the list twice, by the way. They also have Demons on there at number nine.
Okay. Right.
Good to know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, I think we need to break after all of that, because that's way too much music for my sensibilities right now, because I wouldn't have downloaded any of those songs except, well, Bohemian Rhapsody. I would have done that. Okay.
Real quick, though, yeah. Phil, is it you go platinum if you sell over a million albums or songs, right? Is that platinum? Is it over a million?
Maybe I thought platinum was 500,000 and double platinum was a million.
Oh, okay.
I may be wrong. Maybe you're right.
I'm just curious because I always heard there was a diamond, too, like that was even above platinum. I don't know. Maybe I'm off.
Yeah, there might be
the unicorn of record sales.
Right.
Yeah. All right. You know what? We have another list, but this one is completely on target, and it's coming up next. It's the 8 creepiest things you can do on Facebook, and you'll hear it here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends, and I got to tell you, you'll have to wait to hear the 8 things on Facebook that I was telling you about, the creepiest things you can do. I'll tell you why. Have you seen the video on TV of the snow back east and in the Midwest? Have you seen it?
It's nasty.
Yeah. I mean, just huge snow drifts and the commute. I don't know how people get around out there. In fact, there's a woman in Wisconsin called the cops a couple of days ago to report her car stolen. So cops headed out to into a serious snowstorm to find it. And a half hour later, the woman called back. She said, "Never mind. It's exactly where I parked it. It just was buried under a giant pile of snow."
Hit her car alarm to find it.
Yeah. And joining us live is our former Phil Hewlett and Friends sports guy, now social media guru for 120 Sports, award-winning sportscaster, our Chicago correspondent, Carlo Sisu.
Chris, Phil, it's a pleasure to join you guys from Siberia.
Siberia. Yeah. How bad is it out there anyway? And put it into perspective. What's your day like when you get up and grab a cup of coffee and put on your socks?
Well, actually, right now, it's not that bad. We're back into the 30s, glad to say.
Whoa.
Looking forward through the rest of the week, we're actually going to be reaching the high 30s. So that's fun. We're above freezing.
A heat wave.
Yeah. But
That
means all the snow that fell is not melting yet. If it's into the 30s or mostly not melting. How much snow did you get out there?
Well, funny you mentioned that. I just came out from taking a nice walk outside. I mean, the weather's cold enough, but you still got to get some exercise. And there's still a lot of snow covering the roads. The streets are starting to get cleared up. But at one point, especially during the Super Bowl, there was as much as 18 inches of snow.
Yeah, all right.
So think of that as being knee high at some points.
All right, so that knee high, and then they get the snow plows out and they start pushing all that snow out of the way, and they have to put it somewhere. Where do they put it there in Chicago?
Oh, the snow plows are such a nightmare. I fortunately do not have a car here in Chicago, so most of my commute is walking. You mentioned the Wisconsin lady who lost her car in the snow. I'm walking around, and sometimes I have to remind myself there once was a car there, but you just don't see it. It was just covered up by one of the snow that is on the ground, and then the plows going through, throwing the snow right on top of the car.
Yeah, but then they've got to deposit a lot of the snow elsewhere when it doesn't go onto the car. I saw a video of a reporter on one of the networks standing in front of Comiskey Field, or whatever it's called now because somebody bought the naming rights.
The cellular field?
Yeah, exactly. And she was standing in front of these what looked like 12-foot snowdrifts.
Yeah.
Outside, and I don't know if they're inside. Do they dump the snow inside the baseball field as well?
From what I've seen, not so much inside. It's more so outside. But, yeah, you see those snowballs. I got to admit, it's tempting to kind of just jump through them and kind of make a snow angel.
Yeah, my first thought would be gathering people up and playing a little King of the Mountain.
Yeah, right. Okay, so I imagine a lot of events had to be canceled over time. People have a hard time getting around. There's all kinds of crashes going on, and we see the video of that all the time, people just spinning out. When do you expect things to thaw out? I mean, it's already warming up into the 30s. You going to get into the 40s anytime soon?
Hopefully sooner than later, especially coming from a California boy.
Yeah.
But looking at the forecast, we may still have a chance of snow on Sunday. But for now, it's looking like we've gotten through the worst.
Yeah. All right.
Is there chain requirements, Carlo, on the vehicles?
Chains?
Not so much. No. The grounds here, most part, are straight. So.
No, in Chicago, you just get out there and drive. Don't worry about the chains. Just get out there and drive, okay?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, exactly.
So well, here's the thing. What's a beer and a sausage sandwich like in sub-freezing temperatures?
It tastes even better. As long as you can defrost yourself and actually get to a place that serves some, especially coming up after Super Bowl Sunday, battling through the snow and the storms and actually going to a Super Bowl party, the food, I got to say, and the beer tasted much, much better.
All right, one more thing. Well, two more things, actually. Have you broken off any frozen nose hairs or eyelashes?
Not this year. Actually, after last year and experiencing negative 40 and walking around, no frozen eyelashes this year.
All right. We mentioned in the introduction 120 Sports, and it's one of the fastest growing sports outlets online. And what's new over there, Carlo?
Thanks a lot for bringing it up, Phil. 120 Sports, as you mentioned, the new wave of sports, of getting your sports on your phone, on your mobile device, is now selected by the Apple App Store as a best of 2014 app. So that was a huge honor. You could download the app on your iPhone, your iPad, even your Android device. And as of the last month, Apple TV and now Chromecast is carrying 120 Sports.
Wow.
So it's a huge solution for all cord cutters out there.
All right, Carlo, get out there and light some trash on fire and stand around there and rub your hands and blow the little cold cloud out of your mouth while you're there. We want
to
see that.
Just speaking to you guys warms my heart already. I can feel my body temperature getting back into the 90s.
Look at you. Carlos Sisu, thank you very much for being out there, and look out for the snowdrifts and the plows, for that matter.
Anytime, Phil.
All right. Goodbye. Thank you.
Outstanding. So I was looking at a job in Chicago, and I have now decided no. No. No and no.
All right. I made you wait, and I'm going to pay off here. The words creepy and Facebook are pretty much intertwined these days. Since everyone has done something creepy on Facebook, yes, even you, but when you get beyond stalking your exes, what other creepy things go on? There's a list here. It was put together by Gizmodo.com, the 8 creepiest things you can do on Facebook, and I think they really nailed it.
I'm pretty sure I do all of them, by the way. I haven't heard the list, but yeah.
I'm just going to jump around here. Number 8, sincerely interacting and engaging with brands. Think of how weirded out your friends will be when they see you respond LOL to a super lame joke that Burger King or T-Mobile posted.
Yeah, or the Trojan condom brand decided. Yeah, right. That great post, Trojan.
Here, friending someone's grandmother. or worse, poking someone's grandmother. I still don't get poking on Facebook.
Or liking her glamour shot. Yeah. Also probably be rather inappropriate.
Right. Requesting someone's relationship status and their address. You know, when you have that ask about it, I don't know.
Right.
I think when you put the ask about relationship status or address, that means don't ask, right?
Yeah, it's saying I'm hiding this from you.
Yeah.
Right.
Commenting on someone's life events you had no part in. Commenting on someone's photo from 10 years ago as if it's current, like they're eating a donut, right? Mmm, looks good. Tagging yourself in someone else's engagement photo.
I was there, too.
I'm totally going to do that.
And posting a photo of your face on someone else's wall with zero explanation.
These are great ideas. Thank you, Phil. The rest of my day is planned.
And you're free to do so thanks to net neutrality, because the pendulum is swinging in our favor suddenly. Our tech guy joins us live to celebrate, and perhaps he had a hand in all of this because of things he says constantly on this here program about the FCC chairman. You're going to hear from Jeremy, our tech guy, next on Phil Hewlett and Friends. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. You're listening to it, and we hope you visit the website, too, philhewlettandfriends.com. I don't know if you realize this, but you can actually watch the show live. That's true. You can. You go to the How to Listen page, and ironically, there's a link to How to Watch right there on the How to Listen page. It's true. Gonzo Greg Spillane is with us today. So is Chris Martin. Erin Myers is on assignment doing her TV newsy stuff. And we continue to hope for the best on something called net neutrality. And if you don't know what that is yet, I'll just say I'm pretty sure you're in favor of an internet where everybody gets access to the same content, the same bandwidth for the same pricing structure. Am I right? I thought so. Joining us now with a huge update on this matter is our tech guy, the head of mobile at Apogee, Jeremy Anticone. Jeremy, hello.
Hey, guys. We got some interesting stuff happening with net neutrality.
Has the FCC chairman come to his senses?
Well, I think he's tired of us calling him a dingo here on the program. And
he is a dingo.
He very well could be a dingo. But, you know, here's the thing. We've talked about net neutrality a lot. It's the concept that we have an open internet, that internet providers don't provide preference to certain types of websites or uses of the internet, that they treat all traffic equally. And, of course, there's been some high-profile fights with, you know, Netflix and so forth having to pay Comcast to deliver their content to their subscribers without slowing it down and making it unwatchable. And of course, this really boils down to money. The telcos obviously want lots of money for the services that they're providing. And Verizon last year filed a lawsuit challenging the existing rules. They got tossed out and they thought that they had a huge victory. But as it turns out, these new rules are going to be far more restrictive than the rules that were in place previously. The biggest change here is that the wired and wireless providers will now be classified as public utilities, assuming that the vote on the 26th of February is approved. They will be classified as common carriers, meaning that they will have rules that prevent them from unfairly discriminating between their customers or treating all traffic equally, not charging for fast lanes. So it's a really important thing for the internet in the long term. There's probably not a whole lot of immediate effects that you're going to see in the very short term. But of course, after the vote on the 26th and after we actually see the entire proposed rules, we'll be able to get more information about it.
That common carrier status, if I may just interrupt for a second, Jeremy, that's like how the their relationship is when they're telcos, as providing telephone service, I would think.
Right, exactly.
And the utilities, for that matter. And there's always that sense that the utilities have kind of a grip on the business, that there isn't a lot of competition. It's almost a monopoly. Is that the trade-off in this conversation, that the ISPs and wireless and wired providers are going to more or less not have to worry so much about competition?
Yeah, I mean, in most places, there are not very many options for your broadband provider. Typically, you've got the choice of the cable company or the phone company, and oftentimes, you know, people aren't really happy with either. So, these rules are really important, and it does actually, you know, stops short of some of the regulations in Title II. Like, for example, with the phone services under Title II, the FCC actually is involved in setting prices, so they're able to actually regulate the pricing structure and so forth.
Here's the problem. The FCC is involved, and my relationship with the FCC is tenuous at best. And so I'm worried that when they get involved, it seems that everything goes south. They can say that I can't say booger on the radio, and now they're controlling the internet. I don't feel good about this.
Well, it's certainly better than the alternative, which was essentially the telcos or the internet service providers, you know, setting up their own rules and starting to charge companies like Netflix to deliver their content. It just really sets a dangerous precedent.
Well, aren't they going to pile the charges on us, though, right? I mean, aren't they just going to put it like if we want to get Netflix, they'll make us pay more for the premium service? And
the idea is that there shouldn't be any bandwidth throttle. Like, for example, I have an unlimited data plan on my wireless phone, and I pay dearly for it. It's a grandfathered data plan, and I'm supposed to have unlimited data, right? But if you read the fine print, they've changed the rules on that so that after 5 gigs, it's throttled and essentially becomes a useless connection. So there are rules in place to remove those kinds of restrictions. So the idea is that you're not going to have to pay to access certain content. You're paying for a connection to the internet, and how you use it is entirely up to you.
Yeah, that 5 gigs, you use that up in a week with your Oculus Rift and running your HD video on your drone, right?
Yes, that is exactly what I do.
Yeah, all right. Hey, how about that hack at Anthem, the folks that run Blue Cross and other companies? Some 80 million profiles breached, huh?
Yeah, second largest health insurer, Anthem, did get breached, and they actually... It was recent that it happened. They didn't wait the entire 60 days like a lot of companies tend to do before revealing the disclosure. But you're right. 80 million people's names, birthdays, social security numbers, addresses, and maybe even employment info like their income has been breached. It hasn't been discovered on any of the black markets yet, but that doesn't mean that it's not out there circulating. And of course, anybody that is affected by it will be notified by the company, and they are offering credit monitoring so that if something does in fact happen as a result of the breach, that you'll be able to catch on to it pretty early.
Is it time to replace the social security number?
I hate social security numbers. I think that it is time to replace them. And I think that aren't there rules that you're not supposed to be using a social security number as an ID number in a company?
That was the plan. That was the original idea. But now everybody talk to wants your social security number.
Right. I mean, you would go into the healthcare thing and they would say, what's your social security number? But they would give you a different number. But still, they have it. Yep. Under there somewhere. So, yeah, if that's been breached, that's out there.
Interrupted you there, Jeremy. Here's the thing you said.
Oh, so here's the thing, the credit monitoring. So when there's a breach like this, typically the company will, make a good faith effort to provide you with some sort of credit monitoring service for, the inconvenience of having your information shared with hackers. But typically it's for 1 year, and oftentimes that data doesn't actually become widespread and visible until after that time. So if you're affected by any of these breaches, the Target breach, the Home Depot breach, now the Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield stuff, it's definitely a good idea to constantly be checking your credit report, making sure that people aren't applying for stuff in your name, and maybe continuing one of these credit monitoring services for even after that first year period.
Yeah, scary stuff, because I think pretty much you hit those three and you've got almost everybody. All right. Yep. I think we all know there's an arms race when it comes to robots. Countries trying to come up with robots for police work, for battle even, for domination. Who knows? But in Japan... they just don't care what anybody thinks. They're going full bore toward hospitality robots with silky hair and soft skin. And there's news for fans of what Japan is doing. What is it?
Well, you know, when I read this article, I was, you know, it's very fitting that it's coming out of Japan. This is a new hotel that is being built. It's going to be opening sometime this summer near Nagasaki. It's called the Henna Hotel, which literally translates to strange hotel.
Oh, good.
It's a 72-room hotel, and it's going to be staffed by 10 robots working alongside humans initially. They'll be manning the reception desk, carrying guests' bags, even cleaning the rooms.
I was going to say, are they housekeeping?
Housekeeping! Right, yeah, absolutely. So the goal is to have 90% of the hotel actually run by these robots.
Oh.
There's no keys, so when you get to your door, it uses facial recognition to let you in.
Oh, that's cool.
And the company has relatively high hopes. They're saying that they're planning on opening 1,000 similar hotels worldwide over the next few years. And at least for the Henna Hotel, it appears to be relatively inexpensive, $60 to $75 a night. And you get to play with robots.
How are these robots monitored? I mean, let's say you're in your room, you're doing something private in your hotel room, which people often do, and very often when you're doing something private in the hotel room, room service will come over, or the cleaning, the housekeeping will come over and knock on the door, housekeeping, and you'll say, sorry, come back later. But if it's the robot, is first of all, can they access your door, the facial recognition thing, without your face? And then is there somebody downstairs, a human, monitoring everything the robot sees?
Yes. So, you know, as like any of the, you know, housekeeping staff or the room service staff, they've all got access to the rooms. They've got, you know, a master key that can let them into your room. So I would assume that the robots could access your room while you're doing whatever it is that you do in your hotel room.
Yeah. Playing
solitaire.
You know,
exactly. If one of them comes in, you know, they don't have an opinion. They don't. They're not going to be gossiping or, you know, sharing what they saw.
True, but I didn't call for. I didn't call for you, robot. Go away, robot. Go away, robot. Hey, no.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting new world that we're living in with you know, artificial intelligence and robots starting to actually.
These robots, are they? Because I know Japan is doing everything they can to make robots look like humans.
They look like Gwen Stefani.
Super creepy looking. They have a traditional Japanese look and just a, you know, kind of a fake eternal semi happy looking smirk on their face.
But humanoid.
Yes, yes.
And strange, so, at the strange hotel.
Bizarre. Yes.
All right, good.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it can only go down from here. All right, Jeremy, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, see you guys.
All right, he's our tech guy. Up next, my goodness, not only are there bears running wild in Florida, but you can now punish your child with a particular haircut. We'll explain what that is next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, welcome back. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. And our final segment here, we have a handful of things to cover, including Chris. There is a guy who's willing to help you if you really want to shame your child.
Yeah, it's a barber out of Atlanta, Georgia, and he has a new way to discipline your misbehaving children. He's offering free old man haircuts if your kids are acting up.
What's an old man haircut?
Well, an old man haircut is like, you know, you shave the top bald, but you leave the horseshoe around the outside, only you're doing this to your 10 to 15-year-old.
Okay, imagine.
Who now has to go to school and live with this haircut.
You have to strap him down for this?
Yes.
No, I think that's fine. Give the kid a mullet. Then You know,
well, no, have you seen? Oh, wait a minute. We have it on our show fun page. The
Greg,
web munchkins have been busy.
You got to check out this picture.
Oh, that's hilarious.
The barber calls it the Benjamin Button special. He offers it 3 days a week. He says it's a punishment that's less severe than it would be if you were spanking your child.
Well, what if this became fashionable? Let's say a guy like, I don't know, popular guy, pop singer like Usher or somebody like that comes out on stage with this kind of a haircut. Would all the kids want to get it?
I don't think so, Phil.
No?
I think that person, whoever decided to try to make it fashionable, would be shamed themselves.
Yeah.
Have you seen this kid? I mean,
I'm looking at it right now.
I could rock that look. I'm
you think so?
You could pull it off?
Yeah.
So opposers are obviously saying that this is a form of shaming and will only lead to psychological disorders. But then there's the other side who, there's a man who says his 11-year-old hasn't misbehaved in over 6 months.
I think it's a character building situation.
All childhood leads to some sort of psychological disorder.
Yeah, that's what we are today. It's what makes us adults.
Exactly.
It's one big collection of psychological disorders. You've got to be balanced with your disorders, and that's what makes you adult. All right. Greg, what's going on in Florida?
People of Florida, panic! Run for the hills! Save yourselves! There are bears! Bears are everywhere, apparently, in Florida, according to reports. Yeah, there's... here's how terrible the bear problem has become in Florida. They're actually thinking of opening the bear hunting season in suburban neighborhoods in Florida.
Wow.
Because four people have been injured in bear attacks since... 2012.
Wow.
But anyway, that's because they're building houses apparently in what was a former bear habitat near a national forest in Florida. But there are bears just, you know, forced out of their habitat who are now showing up in suburban neighborhoods. And on the fun page there, you will also find the most outstanding photograph I've seen on the internets today.
Yeah.
That photograph of the bear in a hammock.
Oh, I'm just looking at it. The caption. Are you reading the caption?
I don't think I have
it. It says, for no particular reason, a bear in a hammock.
A bear in a hammock. He would look happier if he had like a fruity drink with an umbrella in
it,
you know?
Yeah. He looks like so comfy.
Like a Mai Tai, but he looks pretty comfy.
Now, if you can avert your eyes for a moment from Hannah the Tease on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Right.
To look, you'll see the kid with the old man haircut and you'll see the bear in a hammock. And then that will make your day. It will.
But you'll have to
avert your eyes.
That picture of Hannah actually has a little bear in the hammock.
Is that what the kids call it these days?
I was going to say, bear in a hammock is playing at the Whiskey tonight.
You know what? Now that the football season is over, and you think about some of the guys that play on the linemen, you know, the tackles and the guards and, you know, those guys. They're the size of bears, aren't they?
They are. They're huge. They're the size of polar bears. And then you wonder, what do you do after you retire as a lineman? And we have an example of it now. So Nick Hardwick is a longtime center for the San Diego Chargers. He was out this year in week one after a neck injury, and he had already committed to this being his last season. And so from there, he started changing his caloric intake and changed his diet and his workout regimen. The guy in like 4 months has dropped 85 pounds and has gone through this major transformation, which a lot of these offensive linemen do. And you see the picture of him before and after. It's just a stark contrast. Very handsome guy, which was hard to tell when he was sort of loaded down.
Well, that's not an easy task, really, because I think a lot of these guys, they just become obese and out of control after, you know, because they are still conditioning. But they're also encouraged to put on the poundage because the bigger they are and the more weight they can throw around on that line, the easier it is for them on offense to protect their quarterback or on defense to just knock a hole in the wall.
Yeah, they get front of the line when it comes to going to the mess hall. They can eat as much as they want. They lift with super heavy weights.
Yeah.
But the other thing is now, especially with these billion-dollar sports franchises, you have these physical coaches that teach these guys how to taper that weight off healthily, and these guys are already disciplined. You have to be disciplined.
You know, when you watch football with the ladies, they'll always comment. You know,
you mean the lingerie bowl, right?
No. You sit down in your room, you watch the football, and you're with the wife or the daughters or whatever. They'll after they're done saying, "Look at that butt," they'll say, look at the gut on that guy. And there are, I mean, literally, these are these things you rent for your kid's birthday party, you know, for the kids to bounce around on.
Right. Yeah.
That's how big these guts are. But these guys can run, a 5.5 second 40, right?
Yeah, yeah, they're freak athletes, you know. I can't wait to see Vince Wilfork go through his transformation. That guy might be the biggest guy in the league.
What is he, 400 pounds?
At least.
At least.
He's a monster. He's a hole clogger.
Talking about change, we have the latest tabloid rumors about Bruce Jenner's alleged transformation. They say, first of all, when the change comes, Bruce will change his name to Belinda. He'll be Belinda Jenner, and this wasn't a rash decision. A source says, quote, inside, he has always been Belinda. And meanwhile, RadarOnline.com says that Kim Kardashian was in on Bruce's secret before anyone else because she once caught him stealing her lingerie. According to a source, she'd overheard expensive French lingerie, or she ordered it, not overheard it, but she ordered expensive French lingerie, but it never arrived as far as she knew. She asked her maid where it was, and the maid said, come here, and took her to Bruce's closet and showed her.
And there was Bruce standing in front of a mirror going, I look pretty,
no,
oh, so pretty.
No, no, no. But anyway, we're all watching this with interest, for sure.
Do you think this will be good for the trans community or not? Because he's associated with such a group of horrible people.
Well, it's
the,
got... It's
the Kardashians.
Getting, yes, I got you. It's getting us all to talk about it.
Right.
I think, and the more you talk about it, the more comfortable you get with the subject. But it's not a comfortable subject for a lot of people. It's not a comfortable thing for Bruce going or Belinda.
That's why it's right. That's why it will be a good thing for the trans community because it sheds light on the subject, and we have to deal with it as a society.
Yeah. Hey, here's one last thing to end the show on. A little a touching note. A 92-year-old guy named Ronald Reed passed away last June in Vermont, and according to his friends and family, he was known for being pretty frugal. He refused to buy a new coat. He held onto his old one, and it was held together with safety pins. And he'd sometimes park his car blocks away from where he was going because he refused to pay for parking. So everyone assumed that Ronald didn't have a whole lot of cash, which made sense because he never had a job that paid very much. He worked 25 years as a gas station attendant and then 17 years as a janitor. But recently they found out that he was also pretty good at picking stocks. And in his will, he left $6 million to charity.
Wow.
That's generous.
$4.8 million is going to an area hospital, and $1.2 million is going to his local library. Oh, big mistake there. Libraries don't have much of a future, do they?
Well, it's good that he's there for them.
I guess so.
Nobody else is, right?
Both of those donations are the biggest either party has ever received. So how about that? Good at picking stocks. I guess if you were to buy 1,000 shares of, Apple computer back in the 80s, when they went public initially, then you'd be sitting pretty today, huh?
Right, yeah, or Tesla Motors.
After the 3 2-for-1 splits and then the 7-for-1 split.
Home Depot. I've heard people in the front end of Home Depot killed it with
Did
all the splits they had. Yeah.
Hey, we love your comments. They might split us up a little bit when we read them at philhewlettandfriends.com. Just click on the contact page. We're on Twitter, FAF Show, at Facebook as well. Like us there. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, our production assistant, Nick Wright, a big fan of Nickelback. Our theme song composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Aaron Myers, Gonzo, Greg Spillane, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.